Inferno!
Tall Can Audio.
It's graceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you, idiot? Your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
Hello, good listener. Welcome inside an all-new edition of the Tall Can Audio Podcast as we kick off another week and the first episode of the show inside Pride Month. So happy Pride to anybody celebrating that. Matt Robinson sitting over here, Rob sitting over there. Neither one of us with anything to be proud of, but how's it going today, man?
Oh, I'm always proud. I strut like a peacock.
Strut.
Peacock.
You can tell by the way he uses his walk.
Yeah, I'm a woman's man.
No time to talk. Always time to talk.
Wow, man. That's a little Bee Gees right off the top. Who saw that coming?
Dug down deep.
It doesn't sound like you had to dig too deep at all. I think I was playing with
right there on the edge of my
when
tongue.
I came into the room this afternoon. There it is.
Yeah. What's happening?
I'm fantastic, Matt. Hmm. I'm fantastic. I am feeling the Pride Month.
Yeah.
Based on what? I have no idea. But it's June. June is the greatest month. June is the greatest month.
Yeah.
I know you won't.
Couple of notable birthdays.
Yeah. You will not dispute that.
Father's Day. Yeah.
Father's Day. It's one of the, it's like there's Mother's Day and then there's like.
A faint echo.
Yeah, Father's Day is a pimple on the Mother's Day ass. That's really what it is.
In our family, we've got my niece and nephew's birthday, Mother's Day, and my mom's birthday, their grandmother's birthday, all within like a 2-week span every year.
Yeah.
And my brother-in-law, who gets mentioned several, like often enough on this podcast, he also has a birthday in June. And he was sort of throwing that needle around at,
okay.
Because, you know, June's never quite celebrated as much. You know, there's Father's Day for two people. There's a couple of birthdays. No noise in June. Just.
Yeah. See, Father's Day and my birthday always fall within a week of each other.
Yeah.
Usually back-to-back Sundays.
Right. So you're in the same boat as my mom. Yeah.
Back-to-back Sundays? No. But.
Could be.
It's some years. It's sort of a week in between, right?
Yeah.
It's very tight, but. I think, like so many other guys, mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know what? I don't want a huge fuss. I'd actually...
A pair of socks, a case of beer.
And leave me alone, maybe. Is that possible?
And not just a pair, like a pack of socks. Like, you know, one of those Walmart six-packs or something.
See,
in June, you're not thinking about socks. You probably won't put socks on again until November.
I go from April through to November with no socks. It's true. And I love it.
Yeah.
But it is... If I wear socks, they got to be super high quality.
Okay. So you want to pick them out for yourself.
No, for sure, man. For sure. It's like you're the underlay on your carpet. Don't chintz on the underlay.
Yeah. Got it.
And so socks are the same. So don't go in and get your 42 barrel at Costco or at Walmart or whatever it is of shit that will literally disintegrate on your feet in the rain. Don't do it, man.
You like a wool knit sock guy?
Not wool, man. No, no. I have sensitive sensitive feet, so they get it, wool dries them out.
Yeah.
I know, man. It's you got to have good socks, man. You got to have good socks.
Good socks and good carpet. The underlay of this show is always the beers. Why don't we start there?
Matt is such a pro. That's a great segue. That's a great segue right there.
Rudely interrupted to compliment me, so we'll allow it.
No, you dropped it. The full thing was there.
All right. What are you sipping on over there?
We were talking about our love of Durham and all the things that happened.
We do love Durham
and
equally.
And so this is right where everyone wants to be, South Ritson Road.
Yes.
In the dirty schwa.
All or nothing.
Yeah, all or nothing.
Nice.
I'm
it's back, like visiting there.
Yeah, back, exactly.
Buying
it's
real. A house
it's,
there.
It's life or death. It's all or nothing. You're in or you're not. The All or Nothing, the Globetrotter series, they always do a bunch of stuff, right? Where they sort of venture around and they
styles from around the world.
Correct. Correct. So we've had the Vienna Lager in here. We've had the ESB. Today I am drinking their Bock.
Okay.
The German Bock.
Yeah.
Coming in at 6.7%. The Bock in the lager family. Right, just a little more caramel, a little more malt forward, right? And it's really fermented longer than a regular lager and more malt forward, a little higher alcohol.
There's a couple summers there where you were running hard on the Maybach.
Yeah, which is just Mai is May.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was
that pushed me into the Festbach,
yeah,
which was coming in at like 11%.
Yeah,
just it makes me thick and
feel super festive. I was listening to a German beer tutorial, and they were talking about, you know, just a little German goes a long way, right, in terms of understanding the different types of beers.
Reaches all the way into Poland, Belgium.
Well, but a Helles is light.
Yeah,
right. Your Dunkel, dark. Schwarz is the black.
That's what you get after you have the Schlitz.
Yeah, well, that's 12 Guinness gives you the hardcore Schwarz. But the Bock is German for goat, so I'm not sure it goes all the way to that.
Right.
But there is a certain understanding that it comes from Einbach region of Germany. So this is a beer that is usually much like your Marzen, right, which is a traditional Oktoberfest darker beer. This is the same sort of deal, just cellared longer.
Okay.
Meant to be drank at a higher percentage. But this one's 6.7, I think. But it's meant to be drank in the sort of cooler seasons when you could use a little warmth.
Mm.
So we're looking for, again, a little sweeter, hopefully smoother, right? The longer it ferments, we're hoping for a little less sort of...
Right.
Harsher taste. So that is what I'm going with. I'm going with the German Bock from All or Nothing today, 6.7. What do you got?
This is going to be difficult, good listener, for you to believe, but there are some parts of the world more beautiful, more picturesque than South Oshawa. This beer comes from one of those. It is the Thousand Islands Brewing Company. And this is just their amber coming in at 4.5%. I don't recall if I've had this before. I probably have, but off the top of my head, it's not ringing a bell. I haven't had a ton of things from the Thousand Islands Brewing Company.
I've never had anything.
Okay, well, there you go.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded tentative off the hop.
But finished with authority. Finished strong.
Man. With some snap.
Yeah. Ambers are always like... I've very rarely had an amber that I'm indifferent to. It's either going to be kind of disappointing or exactly what I'm looking for, right? And I'm always looking for the ones that are a little thicker, right? A little more malty right up front. Often with that, a little bit of that caramel to it, not as strong as you'd get in some of your really dark stuff. But I find them really hit or miss. And you've been the one doing all the research here. You're watching German tutorials and stuff. I'm not really sure what the difference between an amber and a red is supposed to be, but they do often come off, correctly or not, as interchangeable.
But they are similar, but one's further down that SRM spectrum we're
right.
talking about.
Right.
Right? The red is usually darker.
Okay.
And so they are in the same familia.
Sure.
So, yeah, interchangeable, not quite, right, but close.
Okay.
Like cousins.
I find them to be interchangeable, and maybe that says more about whoever's brewing that one in particular than my palate. Maybe the opposite.
And so you've had one pull on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
On first pull, this feels like it's going to be closer to the ones that I quite like than the ones that I...
Okay. See, the thing is, because we this is the first pints we've had since in the green room.
Yeah. Been a while.
And yes.
I had to walk all the way in here.
But you were not drinking that in the green room.
No.
And so the first pull can sometimes be misleading, right?
Often. You got something else still hanging out on your
right.
palate.
And then you take a shot Bacardi. Of that and you're like, hey, yeah, Bacardi. And you're like, I don't like that. Or I don't like it as much as I thought. And then the second pull.
Yep.
And the third pull. And you're like, yeah, okay, you know what? Way better.
Right.
See, this over here, very... very sort of dark, reddish brown kind of. The head was great. It's smooth. It's really smooth. And I'm not picking up a lot of any of the malt or the sweetness, but it's super smooth. And at 6.7, not a hint of the booziness.
Okay.
So, yeah, the German Bock from All or Nothing, 6.7. We'll see how the rest of the show goes because I also drank one of these in the green room. So, we'll see how the whole thing shakes loose.
When I look at at the name of this brewery, it always throws me a little. Because we all call the area the Thousand Islands, right? Do you call it the 1,000 Islands or do you call it the Thousand Islands?
Who calls it Thousand Islands? Like it's a fucking dressing.
You call it 1,000 Islands?
No, it's the Thousand
it's
Islands.
Okay.
Of course it's 1,000 yeah. Islands. Like,
well, this says on the can 1,000. Like you're meant to pronounce 1,000. Like, I'm not going to rip these guys for how they named their brewery, but I probably would have just called it T-H-O, you know, like spell it
thousand,
out rather than
1,000 Islands.
Rather than 1,000.
Well, that is a hair-splitting point, I think.
Yeah, and as I've said, the beer here so far, pretty good. So we're not ripping the quality of the... but I've had this conversation with a couple of people over the years, like the difference in how it's written and how it's spelled, and you've put me in a tough spot here. It looks like when I read the name of your brewery, you would like me to call it the 1,000 Islands Brewery. And I'm not going to do that. Makes me feel silly.
They don't want you to say
that. Much
like
having brought this up.
Yeah.
When I think Thousand Islands, I think us crossing the bridge there the one time and we asked, like we were sort of wondering out loud, how many are actually there? Like how many islands are in this region, the Thousand Islands? I'm sure it's not dead on 1,000. So somebody pulled their phone out and
It's like 27.
Did the Google search and came back with 6.
Yeah.
There are 6 islands. Like, nah, that's not right.
Yeah.
That's not going to be correct.
Yeah, we know who that person is.
Yeah.
And
we sent them back into their phone. What it turned out to be, there are 6 that are not always there. 6 that, depending on, you know, the season. Yeah, the water level, they disappear and reappear. So that's why I guess there is no official count, because depending on when you visit, there's a... 6 that could be there or could be not.
And the reality
is... But to proudly proclaim.
Yeah, okay.
6. There's 6 islands.
That same person, God love her, there's been lots of statements and I'm proud moments.
But I, like to me...
Look what I've done. You're like...
There are 6 and we exaggerated up to 1,000. Yeah. We couldn't have called the region the Dozen Islands or the Half Dozen. Nah, screw it.
The Baker's Does right. Islands. It is, but there are far, far fewer than 1,000 islands in that
for
neck
sure.
of the woods. But somebody just got lazy and they went, oh,
1,000.
Yes, and there's got to be 1,000 islands. It's like that kid when I was little and lived next door and nobody wanted to play with him. But... I'm like, he's like, hey, where are you?
You?
He's like, where are you going? And I'm like, ah, I'm going home today. Like, what are you going home for? And I'm like, I need to get something to drink. And he's like, come to my house.
We have drinks.
Come to my house. We have hundreds of waters. Like, hundreds.
What does
of
that
waters.
Mean?
Yeah, it's a lot. I think in that kid's mind, it meant
we have many waters.
There's much to drink, in my place. And I just opened that tap and there is hundreds of waters.
In later years, anybody saying, I have much to drink, would make you go, all right, I can put up with you a little longer.
That person's like that. Had much to drink is what that would take. And the going thing at home is always, I say things like, I want to have egg for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Not eggs.
Okay.
Right. It's I potato. I want to have potato. I sing. It's everything. I take the plural right off of it always. Beer. Potato, egg, and I don't know why that is.
Beer works. Like, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, but it's...
Yeah, you want to get together and rip some beer? No, beer's probably, I guess. But,
yeah, no.
But you can sit around all night drinking beer.
Yeah, but if you said to me, you want to rip beer?
No, because you only have one by
that's exactly right. What are you and I going to share it with? 2 straws. 2 straws, 1 beer. I think the chances of that happening are next.
Yeah, party's over.
Party never starts. Party never starts if you're bringing 1 pint
half
to it.
A beer.
The guy who shows up with a warm beer in his hand, woo!
Yeah.
We came back from, there was a trip down to Pennsylvania. We rented a bus and and we went in and I bought 18 beer, I think. Jeff bought 18 beer. The guy next to it bought a dozen beers.
He's doing it.
And then the guy... We're filming people coming out of it because I had to buy a foam cooler too back in the day. And you see the other 2 guys
filming
come out.
On your shoulder.
One guy's got a 1,700 milliliter Bud Light.
Why bother?
well, this is it. And you're like, that guy sent somebody back later to say, is there any chance so-and-so could get a beer from you because he's out? And you're like,
nope.
Because that cheap fuck just bought one beer.
Right. It was one large beer.
Did you fully intend to just have one beer? No. Nobody really wants that. And I hate those guys.
I think I've told the story before on the podcast about being on that beer tour that I went on with a friend of mine after beer tour, baseball tour.
I love a beer tour, though.
Sure. It's most tours in my world. Was down touring around New York, did Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, up to Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame, all this stuff. So we're up in Cooperstown. It's the first full day of this this bus tour. So you're still sort of trying to figure out who you're going to be spending time with, right? Like, I'd gone with a friend, but who else is here?
Who are the other cool kids?
Right. That won't let us play with them.
Yeah.
So we've had enough of not drinking. And so we ask where the closest place in Cooperstown we can go pick up some beer to take back to the hotel with us for the night on this bus because we got a half hour. Oh, it's like 12 blocks that way in the 35 degree. So we walk down to this gas station slash convenience store. We each grab 24 Bud. So it was as good as they had for us in
I'll take a Bud.
Cooperstown.
In a pinch.
We get back on the bus. We are borderline late.
Oh.
I know a time frame you're quite familiar with.
Yeah, well.
But the bus is still there. People have just finished seated, but we are the last ones getting on. And
you are the last ones?
We are the last ones to board.
Did you get the Bronx cheer?
No. We got a guy a couple years older than us. We were fresh out of college at the time. Stand up and go, all right, we all knew it would be the Canadians who found the beer. Where'd you get that? He said, oh, it's back that way. So the bus drives down there.
The bus drives there.
Yeah, which is great. But now, that's the moment, as you're suggesting. Who came out with one can? Who came out with a case? Yep. Who came out with the two, like the six? And we can now sort of sort ourselves out. Who's here for what kind of trip on the bus? And it actually played out that way. Everyone sort of, it clearly wasn't just us.
Yeah.
Paid attention as they were getting back on the bus. And the next day, getting on the bus, people were sort of sitting with their
crew.
Right.
We're in the same niche here.
Yeah. So
there's fence swingers and there's bunters.
Right. And so that's how we sorted things out for the rest of it. We ended up one of the guys who yelled at us that it would be the Canadians who found the beer. They were two brothers from Maryland. So we spent some time with them and a family who dad liked beer. They had a 7-year-old son and a 10-year-old daughter or something like that. But they ended up in our group because his mom and dad liked a couple of beers.
Like the pints.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I've told this story on the pod. I know you are going to be familiar with it. When we were in Australia and we were spending a time staging prior to Sydney 2000, and we were staging up in northern New South Wales, and they treated us like celebs. Like, it was awesome. They took us on the seniors tour where they loaded up these seniors and they took them to a racetrack for essentially a pisser. And they were like, yeah, you can come up and you can, you know, enjoy the day. There's a beach and there's museums. And it's a day trip for these seniors. But it's, and so we end up in this museum and it's like Australia in the 40s. And so we're like, yeah, we're wandering through and we're like, oh, let's beat it. There's a saloon. It was actually called a saloon.
Swinging doors.
Next door. And so we wander over and we get in and there's four of these seniors have already beat us in there. They're pounding pints and they're like, yeah, you losers at the museum. So like, that's all these seniors wanted was they just wanted to get out. Two weeks old was... Honestly, it was like a best bitter.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks old being a pint in Australia.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Whereas the 2 weeks new was like a lager.
Okay.
And so I loved the 2 weeks old, and people are like, "That's an old man's beer," and I'm like, "What? Because you can taste it? Because it has flavor?" Anyways, the reality was, yeah, these four old ladies, we thought we were cutting out early, and they had already had...
They were just taking that bus to the saloon.
This is it. Well, they had their Metamucil in their 2 weeks old or whatever they were doing. I have no idea, but they were already teeth out, pounding back the pints at like 10:30 in the morning. So That was, and we ended up, there was no beach. We were at a racetrack, like a horse racing track. And there was a barbecue and pints. That was all that was true, but there was no beach.
Right.
And that is the one and only time in my life that I think I've got heat stroke. Was I'm like, yeah, I'm here staging for a games.
Right.
And I'm standing in the middle of this dusty, sun-baked field, and it's like...
Drunk.
With these old ladies. Anyways, it was a good time. Really, yeah. But the things you do.
Yeah.
The things you do.
It's true, man.
Sorry, did you have something to start? Was there a topic you wanted to speak about?
On Saturday night, we saw the Panthers take down the Rangers in a game. The Rangers really didn't look particularly interested in winning with your back against the wall. That wasn't a particularly inspiring effort from anyone but Shesterkin. And at times, Panarin was all right. Nobody else really seemed to care very much. I don't remember if you sort of told us at the beginning of this series who you thought was going to win it, but there were moments where, like, this thing was really tight and looked like it could go the distance, like multiple overtimes.
Three overtime games in a row.
Right. And yet at the end of it, I'm left feeling like...
Florida was far and away the better team.
Yeah. Like, just, like, this was predestined. I don't remember saying that at the beginning. I don't remember even who I... picked in
I think
my,
I think we both leaned towards Florida.
Yeah.
I think that was my feeling, I believe, the whole time.
Right. But we did talk on this show about how many times, like, New York had been outclassed. Like, they were staying close, but it was all Shesterkin, right? Like, right. A lot of the analytics were suggesting that this shouldn't be close, but if you have a hot goalie, you can get by that. But as we finish it up,
Igor's hot.
As we get by it, and it's in the rear view, yeah, I look back and kind of go, it looks like it was close. It didn't feel close. Like, they just sort of dusted them.
See, and tell me your feelings, and it's hindsight that is beautiful.
I thought you were going to leave that open for me. Just tell you my feelings on whatever I was.
No, no.
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 Fuck that.
Yeah, exactly. This is not about you. I know we're just using you as a vehicle to get somewhere else.
That Rob wants to go.
What is your recollection when you go... That is the President's Trophy winning team, and they felt a bit counterfeit to be, air quotes, the best regular season team, mm-hmm. the Rangers. They didn't, like, if you would have given me three choices, I'm not sure the Rangers would have fit into the top three of my best teams in the NHL in 23-24. You? This
if,
is you.
If,
now
yeah,
I am
yeah.
asking you
If
now.
Not, I'm not sure they fall out of my top five.
Okay.
Like, they were right there, and it's not just the President's Trophy, obviously, but when you have a goalie like that, I kind of like their D. Now, some of it needs to develop a little bit more. There's some young pieces there coming along. But when you're running out, I was never sold on their center position, right? Between Zibanejad and Trocheck, is that enough? And obviously, it wasn't. On the wing, you look at the steps that Lafreniere took. Obviously,
he had an awesome playoff.
He really did. And Panarin... you know, after
pretty much invisible from the middle of the second round on.
Yeah. But, you know, just looking at the whole picture, he was kind of in that secondary Hart Trophy discussion at the end of the year. Right.
But you look at that.
Chris Kreider, a playoff guy. Like, I don't know, man. I don't think I would have had them outside of my top five. If you said when the playoffs started, pick your top five teams you think could win this, I probably have the Rangers in there. And
top five.
Well, they made it to the top four, so I guess I was close enough. But
all right, yeah. But to me, I never looked at them ever in the regular season.
I probably would have looked at Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton,
Florida.
And then
yeah.
It's right there. They'd be in
them
that.
Them and Carolina, they're in that sort of that range. But to me, they were,
Winnipeg,
in that,
maybe.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have.
Vegas. Vegas.
I would have put Vegas probably at least in the same neighborhood as the Rangers, maybe higher.
And right there with Dallas, right? Because one of them was going down in the first round, and probably that's not what you want to see. But
yeah. I look at that team and went, Trouba, Fox, Lindgren. They got Gustavson in there,
But I like Keandre Miller. He's coming along. You weren't buying it. You weren't feeling it.
Goalie. To me, they were going to get goalie. They were going to goalie somebody in this range.
Yeah.
Like, to me, if you remember back to I think they went up 3-0 on Carolina. So they were seven straight wins.
Yeah.
And it was like, they're just going to sweep. They're going to be the first New York-based team in playoff history to go
8-0
to start. And it's like things, that little bit of doubt that comes in with that Carolina push back to 3-2. I think they lost in six.
Yeah.
And it looked like in that sixth game, without that Kreider three-goal natural hat trick, it's like there was a little bit of doubt cast in, and it just never seemed the same.
Yeah, it's interesting.
From the middle of that, from that 3-0 Rangers, they just never seemed as good. And to me, as you've pointed out, they were never, despite being close for long stretches, man, Florida was rolling them in so many areas. But Shesterkin was, to quote Paul Maurice, brilliant.
Well, and one of the things I find myself focused more and more on, and maybe bringing up too often on this show, is path. Right, like they swept through the first round, and actually put
the Caps were the weakest team
for sure
in the playoffs.
So there's your easy path. Now Carolina, very good team, but who has struggled in the playoffs?
Struggled to score.
Yes. Whereas you look at West and you go, man, Dallas is going to have to get through Vegas, Vegas,
Colorado.
And then either Winnipeg or Colorado, and then probably Edmonton, which is the way it turned out to be, right?
And then if they make that,
then you get over and
then you get Florida,
right? Whereas New York, here you go, here's the Caps, here's the, you know, usually disappointing Hurricanes in the playoffs,
but the disappointing Canes to me are a disappointing team that can't score, which is not like a disappointing Caps team.
Well, I can't believe running Freddie Anderson out as your playoff goalie hasn't panned out better.
But the rest of the team is going to make it hard on you to get there.
Yep.
You'll get there if you can limit their scoring even further, which was what happened.
But
that is a tough series, though.
But when I bring up path, I guess it's just in support of your, like, maybe the Rangers were a bit of a paper dragon here, right? In terms of the road that they took to get where they did. And they came up against a team that everyone assumed going into these playoffs was playoff ready, right? Like this is if you want to use that
plays.
That style, you don't want to see them in the playoffs. And when the Rangers ran into them, even though, as we've said, it was a fairly close series on the scoreboard, it never really felt all that close. And if the Rangers were going to get by, it was going to be because Shesterkin took them there. And
it's like if you had playing the Panthers and you could see it in the Rangers in the game Saturday night, it's like if every time you reached out to grab that last cookie, somebody hit you with a meter stick. You're like, it's like you just become I don't want to fucking reach out anymore.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably not that good of a cookie.
This is it. You know what? You're like, I'm just cool here. It's like you're getting punched in the mouth routinely.
Yeah.
And most teams, you go, I got to play that way. And you sort of do it for a couple games and you lapse a bit. That's Florida's MO, whether we like it or not, right? With the Tkachuk and with the Bennett. Bennett he's gorgeous, man. That guy, for a guy who couldn't do one chin up, and people are like, he has made himself into that Claude Lemieux.
That's a good comparison, yeah. Thoroughly unlikable.
Well, unlikable and
valuable.
But you put him in and he's a winner. He feels like a winner despite having
never won
nothing. But he feels like the kind of guy that you want to have on a team that's destined to win. I'm not saying Florida's going to win.
Yeah.
I just feel like they are comprised all the way around of guys who are going to do it again and again and again.
This is now the fifth straight year that an Atlantic Division team is going to the finals. 2019 Boston, 2020 it was Tampa. 2021 Tampa versus Montreal, if you recall the way we shuffled the deck that year.
Stupid.
2022 Tampa, 2023 Florida, and again now 2024 Florida. So that's interesting. Maybe the only thing that I took away, I don't know if that means anything to you before I blow by it.
It's a good division, and I think
essentially we're talking about three teams. Like Boston sort of was on the tail end of their, we thought, in 2019. And since then, it's just been Tampa and Florida. So
And Montreal.
And Montreal.
do not discount that Montreal
gonna
team.
Going to do it. Going to discount it.
That trucked your Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round.
Yeah.
And that's why I bring it up.
The Trident. God damn it.
Yeah. You. What were you going to do, man, in hindsight?
Could not hope to stop.
I did not see that coming. Nobody did. Nobody did.
Anything at all to be drawn from it other than it's been a good division for a little while? And so.
Well, it's funny because, again, hindsight, if you look back at this season, it looked a bit like the two Western divisions, sort of the top ends of those two divisions, certainly looked better.
Yep.
To me, the Central and the Pacific, you know, with Vancouver, Edmonton, Vegas out there, and you had the three Dallas. Colorado, yep. Winnipeg. They just looked like the better, deeper divisions, or stronger top-end divisions. And whereas the Atlantic sort of looked like, yeah, we're just doing our thing. Which I think what it really comes down to, again, in hindsight, is maybe strength of division. I know Montreal and Ottawa and Buffalo at the bottom of the Atlantic.
This has been the thing, and I don't know if anybody ever used this term, but for years now, we've been talking about the playoffs, essentially Boston, Toronto, Tampa being locked in, and Florida joined the party here in the last 2 or 3 years. I guess it was 2 years ago they won the President's Trophy. And so you sort of had this big four. And three of them have gotten there. One of them has never reached the third round. Might as well be hanging around with your Buffaloes and Detroits.
Who has not made
and
it, Matt? Who are we talking about?
It doesn't matter. Now, the only other tweet I saw that maybe was sharing in the misery of this particular stat as well as I was an account that I follow on Twitter. Like to, for the sake of the show, follow as many different sort of fan bases as possible. You can't be following all fans. You some fan sites or blogs or shows or whatever. There's one called The Charging Buffalo that obviously covers the Sabres. Said, heading to the Stanley Cup Finals. The Sabres? Question mark? No. But Kyle Okposo, Sam Reinhart, Brendan Montour. there was six, and I'm forgetting the next. Maybe off the top of your head, you'll come up with one of them. But six different Sabres that have all been dealt away and ended up in Evan Rodriguez was one.
Oh, Evan Rodriguez, yeah, for sure. I'm drawing.
There was six former Sabres who were propelling the Florida Panthers to the Cup final. Well, the Sabres missed the playoffs for whatever they're up to now, 14 straight years, 11.
Who's the backup goalie in Florida right now?
Oh, Stolarz. I'm pretty sure.
Man, that doesn't even ring a bell to me. Like
maybe I'm wrong.
I know. No, I'm just saying that in terms of that was the most logical place I was going to. And if it is Stolarz, that guy's played for about 10 teams. So.
Yeah.
Please forgive me if I don't remember his stint as a Sabre.
As you and I are sitting here recording Sunday afternoon, we haven't yet seen the outcome of Game 6, Edmonton and Dallas. So I don't know how deep into this you want to go, but since we're sort of in this mode anyway, let me hit you with this. Corey Perry is trying to reach the Stanley Cup final on his fifth team. He would be the first player in NHL history to ever get to a final on five different teams. By the time you, good listener, have heard this, you already know if Edmonton has won or if we're going to a Game 7 on Tuesday. Rob, do you have the five teams over the course of his career he's made it to the final with?
Won a cup with Anaheim?
Yes. 07.
Went to the final with Dallas?
Yep. 2020. That's the one I figured you were going to struggle with.
Won a cup with Tampa?
Made it, but didn't win.
And went to the cup with Montreal?
Yep. So there you go. I thought there was a chance you'd forget Dallas was the only one I figured you might.
It's the Jaromir Jagr time in Dallas. I forget that.
Yeah.
But
okay.
For some reason, it's him and little Joe Pavelski.
Little Joe
that ended up both sort of ending up there as washed up players, and Pavelski is just sort of now he hasn't had a great playoff.
Nope.
At least not.
But they're still out there kicking around. Both members of that, you and I have talked about before, that 03 draft, who's going to be the last one kicking? I came in hard when we had this conversation, I don't remember, it was a year or two ago, saying it will be Ryan Suter. I am no longer convinced it's going to be Ryan Suter.
The last person to play?
Yeah, from
this
that draft.
This is the end for Ryan Suter. I'm not sure if to me, he has looked like a bit of a...
I just felt like as a big defenseman, sometimes, you know, with experience, they'll let you kick around on a third pair for a while. I think he's pretty much done. So can Pavelski get another year somewhere? Can Perry get
Pavelski, I believe, still has lots of, if you look at the season he's had,
yeah.
He hasn't been.
But as you said, struggled in the playoffs.
And he is, to me, he's a clutch guy in past playoffs.
Yep.
But, yeah, somebody was talking about Suter and being the last, you know, one of the last guys. And they never brought up Pavelski, who was a sixth or a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
Like, he was way down there.
Well, up until last year, Bergeron was still in the mix. Oh, Parise is still kicking around with Colorado. Next year, maybe.
We'll see. And he's gasping too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the fish on the deck.
Or maybe he did announce he was done at the end of their playoffs.
I have not heard that.
I thought that didn't happen. Yeah.
But if you are looking at Suter and Parise and Perry and Pavelski, of what was a really great deep draft class, yeah, to say that you were the guy who made it to the end of that,
yeah.
That is quite a. Rank those guys in terms of career, in terms of impact, in terms of...
Suter, Pavelski, Perry.
Suter, Pavelski, Perry. You putting Perry?
No. I'm not. Those aren't my rankings. I'm asking you to hit me again with the four. Who am I missing? And Parise.
Suter, Pavelski, Perry, Parise.
I probably go Perry one.
And you say that because?
He's got a rocket, and he's got
a heart.
He's got a cup. I think I'd put him one.
I think you're right.
Parise doesn't have a cup. He was too late in New Jersey.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Went to that final with them in 2012, whatever that was, 2013, 14, something like that. I'm putting him probably last.
Last. You're last for a 21 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What a loser. Couple of Olympic silver medals or.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
Nope.
Because Perry, if you're going to go that route, Perry was.
He's got an Olympic gold.
A Memorial Cup champion.
Maybe two. Maybe he was on that 14 team.
A world championship team, a cup.
Yep. Such a douche.
An Olympics, a heart, a rocket.
Like, yeah.
A cup. You know,
kind of got the Scott Niedermeyer thing going on.
And there's so few of those guys,
yeah.
Right? And he is, as somebody who got shat upon by the hockey news in the middle, you know, when he got sat in the Vancouver series. And like, good riddance, Corey Perry, you black-heeled douchebag. Seems strong, but...
Well, because I think it's yours. I don't think anyone else said it quite that way.
No, but the hockey... I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm paraphrasing hockey news. But it's a guy who just... Whatever, he's been that guy who's been on winning teams. And that just doesn't happen...
Yeah.
...by accident.
And then I guess, honestly, to me, between Pavelski and Suter, it's a toss-up.
That's Pavelski big time all the time.
Both right?
In terms of
both with plenty of U.S. national team
and most
experience.
Recent impact, it's like
yeah.
To me, Parise is just hanging on, whereas Pavelski has been impact.
And I kind of have this weird taste in my mouth, similar to Parise, about the Minnesota thing where they jutted off together and more about the ownership, right? That was the summer of 2012. Everybody's crying poor. We're going to have another lockout. And at the last possible second, the owner of Minnesota, by the way, I got $120 million between the two of his or what?
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
$13 million bucks a piece or whatever it was. And you're like, that seems like a lot.
And I think you're right. I think I'd go with Pavelski too. But to me, what feels certain in my kind of view of the league is Perry one and Parise four.
Right, but if you remember...
Out of those four,
if
obviously
you remember
once you get into your
Suter
Bergeron.
Showed up in Minnesota, man, that dude was playing 28 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Sort of effortlessly, too, right? He was just eating up minutes.
Well, and now coming out of that, at the time, that Nashville D that was just churning out, and did right up until like 4 years ago, stud D after stud D after stud D, right?
Yeah.
Like right up till your Ryan Ellis and Ekholm and... That meant they had a four then that you were like, someone's got to go. You can't pay all the. It was Weber was still a part of that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us thought Dante Fabro was going to be the next one. It didn't quite pan out. And that sort of would be.
Knee injuries too, right? He had some injury problems.
Ryan Ellis gets traded away. And obviously he runs into some injury problems as well. But yeah, Ryan Ellis sort of came from that class with Weber and a few others that. I think Weber was even in that 03 draft. So
yes, he was.
So, just whether it be, I'll circle back to it. I don't know how deep you want to go on Edmonton-Dallas with a game tonight. Any thoughts on that series?
I want to get a beer and take a pee.
All right. Well, I guess we'll take a break here and we'll be back.
All right. I'll only be gone for a second. Hey! Brunsies, Bagsies, I'm with them. Hey, EIP Brunson, coming man. Through. Very important present. They give me Brunsies.
How frightfully rude. I certainly hope someone stabs him in the eye.
Oh yes.
No!
Okay. As Rob has insisted,
hijacked.
Yeah, we will have another beer.
God bless you, Matt.
Yeah.
Because honestly, man,
you cut quite a pace there in the first half.
I don't know, man. I could have went about 15 minutes ago. I'm not sure what you're doing over there. But I've been waiting all day, all week. I've been waiting all week for Sunday afternoon.
Easy like.
Yeah, it's free pinting.
Easy like Sunday.
Afternoon.
Yeah, close enough.
Lionel Richie never sang it like that.
No, he did not.
No, he did not.
What do you got?
What
have you got?
Yeah, what do you have to show for this? I'm back with All or Nothing, but I am switching gears slightly.
Just feeling that schwa.
Slightly, that dirty schwa vibe.
Yeah.
I am sticking with their Globetrotter series.
Okay.
This is their Irish Red. So I am going with, it comes in, I really wanted to go with something a little lighter in the ABV category if I was going to finish off this show. Mm-hmm. And really, it's got nothing to do with the show.
You got plans later?
Well, 3 or 4 pints on a Sunday afternoon is good. It's fine. I love it.
Yep.
But you have to, if you're going to do something later,
mm-hmm.
you kind of have to work in, how is this going to tail off? Where is this going to end in the rest of my day? Do I have things to do? Day drinking is fine, as we've said before.
Yeah. Not just fine. Encouraged. It's delightful.
Evening hangovers feel way less.
Yeah.
So this is coming in at 4.3%.
All right. So you haven't pumped the brakes that hard.
4.3?
Yeah.
I really, you know what? It's.
I guess your last one was up at 6.7.
6.7. Yeah. So it really comes down to, I don't want to drink beers less than 5.5 anymore. I don't know why. If I'm drinking less beer, if I'm down to 2, 3, 4, 5, right? If I'm under a half pack, if I'm under a half dozen,
if I can only have 5 beers today,
is that wrong?
I don't know. That's a man who's taking it easy because he's got plans later.
Okay. All right. But you understand what I'm saying, right?
I guess. Unfortunately, I do.
If you're going out for a couple of beers, and again, I'm fine to have a beer somewhere. Yeah. Go and do whatever. Have a beer. I don't want to give the wrong impression.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to put a little hair on it.
Sure.
Like, it's got to be, so a 4.3 is usually not where I'm going. You got to be full value on the flavor.
Yeah.
Like, you better be bringing something. And so at an Irish Red versus you had a red.
I had an amber.
An amber. And so I guess the traditional difference is the dry roasted versus not.
Yep.
Much like the Guinness is a dry roasted stout. That's what they're talking about. So more of your sort of baked goods on the Irish Red. That is what they're hoping for.
Love some baked goods.
Yes. Bread, cookies,
yeah.
Cracker.
Couple brownies.
Yeah, no, so brownie, it's more of your good. Anyways, that is what we're looking for here. But what I'm going to take a poll on this, but what do you have over there?
Yeah, this is one that's been around for a while, an Old Faithful everybody knows about, but I saw and had a hankering for. This is the Wicked Awesome from Nickel Brook. This is their 6.5% Northeast IPA. You're winding down. I'm ramping up over here from the 4.5 we had on the first half of the show. I think for most people, pretty familiar with this one. It's been a while since I've had it, though, so looking forward to it, man.
Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I'm getting here. But it's a couple of pulls. I'll have to wait. I'll have to wait and see, right? It does have that nice sort of biscuity finish. So that's nice.
Yeah.
The color is
like
nice.
Like a nice baked good.
Yeah. No, but that's it. The color is nice and dark, and it's easy drinking. Both these beers today from All or Nothing to me have been...
It's Oshawa, man. We'll treat you right.
Well, and the thing is, I have in my monthly delivery, All or Nothing has been in there sort of pretty consistently. Some of the breweries come in and out, mm-hmm. But the All or Nothing has been sort of a mainstay, and I found most of their stuff to be, I don't know.
This isn't going to be complimentary.
No, it is. It's right in the middle of the road.
That's not complimentary.
Okay, but it's you don't drink it and you go, that's terrible.
No.
But I haven't often drank it and went, man, that is great. I much prefer the Five Paddles.
The All or Nothing. Yeah. Whippy. Yeah. The All or Nothing doesn't leave you with the...
Yeah! No. However, until today, I would say both these beers have been full-bodied and very smooth, easy drinking. And so to me, this Irish Red at a lower ABV, because sadly, I often put ABV with... It's hard to get a lower alcohol by volume with a full flavor.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm wrong in that, right?
No, we've talked about that a few times, like how hard it is to make a light, good craft beer. Yeah.
Yes. And so to me, this is...
Shout out Needlelight.
Yeah. This is it. And there was another one I had, but I can't remember. So it's just going to be on you, Andy. but this is nice. This is nice. And at 4.3, it's kind of got a... But I have become a bit of a slave to the ABV.
Right.
I don't really want a beer that's lower than... 5.5. And it's not like I'm drinking one and getting, I'm drinking it because I'm on my way to Hammertown. It's I associate it on many levels with good flavor.
Can we talk about the Oilers now? Do you have anything on that? Maybe I shouldn't force you. Like I said, we know that game is tonight. I was just curious whether you have any thoughts on that series that.
I got a pile.
Okay. Let's have it.
Well, the first, the driving, feeling I have in that series is when I thought that Edmonton had a great opportunity or a good chance to be a final four team,
mm-hmm.
I never thought they would do it on the back of
Zach Hyman.
That's fair. That wasn't
Evan
where I was
Bouchard.
Going. But just the shot totals against, the shot suppression rate that they have.
Well, it's a good thing they'd have because...
Okay, but...
Stewie Skins is not filling me with confidence.
Yeah, but at this point, with a game to be determined, by the time people listen to this, they'll know. But do you feel like it's a slam dunk that Dallas wins tonight?
No.
Do you feel like there's a better and even chance that Edmonton wins tonight?
I do. It sort of feels like... And most people will tell you momentum from game to game is not a thing. It does sort of feel like Edmonton has sort of locked in here a little bit. I don't know what it is.
Well, through the Vancouver series too. Like if you date back, we're like, Vancouver, you're pretenders. What's with these 12 and 15 shots a night? But now you're looking at Dallas.
The same issues.
The same issues. And so it becomes no longer just Vancouver being shitty.
Which is always fun.
For sure it is.
They're, that 30 for 30 we talked about a while ago.
I'm here for the riot. I'm just here for the riot.
Comes out Monday.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I've been waiting for it.
Look for that to be a topic on an upcoming episode of the show. No, I'm with you. Edmonton is doing some things. Like Bouchard's been on the ice for in these playoffs, 40 goals for and 13 against, which is I had viewed from afar, because I'm not watching every Oilers game. That guy as a defensive liability.
The Bush bomb. That's what you thought.
Yeah. Great offensive defenseman. Can run a power play, certainly.
And a bomb in his own end.
and a bomb in his own end. Now he's got Ekholm to help him clean that up a little bit, or more than a little bit. Yeah. But he, on his own, even like his isolated numbers without Ekholm, have been terrific. And I didn't necessarily see him being the beast that he has been. And it's so funny that you and I try and have this conversation now that I have forced. He didn't force it.
I just had to pee and wanted another beer.
Well, maybe he was terrible on Sunday night, right? Like, we have no idea. And so some of these takes won't age all that well. But overall, in the playoffs, he's been terrific. And Dallas has struggled, as you've said, to penetrate and to get enough on Stuart Skinner, who I'm still not close to sold on. Like, if Edmonton does the thing and goes the rest of the way here, that guy is in the anti-Niemi class, the Chris Osgood class.
Crawford.
Well, I got Crawford a little above those guys I've mentioned, but the we won in spite of you, not because of you, right? And I think Dallas is certainly capable of winning two in a row.
Who's the goalie that's in Washington now that won with Colorado 2 years ago?
Darcy Kemper.
He's a bit.
Yeah, mad. Sure.
He looked at in that run to the cup. There were moments where you're like,
they'd probably take him back now though. Over to Georgiev.
Oh, good Lord. What is happening there? Like, that there was time where you're like, I can't believe that's terrible.
So, but there are moments still with Edmonton. I can't remember. Maybe you will, whether it was Monday that
two goals in the first four shots.
Well, not even the goaltending. Like, I went to bed after the first period and Oilers fans were tweeting that, and not just Oilers fans, Canadian hockey fans who watch. The Oilers have refound their stride. They are back on this. They are, out of all the four teams left, the most elite. This is And when I got up in the morning and checked my
Wednesday night.
And when I got up in the morning and checked my Twitter, fire Knobloch, Skinner can't be trusted, get CeCe out of the lineup. Like, it can turn around quick. And I do believe Dallas is good enough to still win this, but they haven't shown a lot so far in this series that says to me they're going to. Whether they win Sunday or not, like, can they win two in a row against them? Sure, they could. Do I think that's what's going to happen? No, I think Edmonton right now looks to be rolling enough that they're going to get there.
Yeah, and I would not have seen that coming. I thought Edmonton was going to steamroll Vancouver,
yep.
And it clearly that wasn't how that series shook out. They needed...
Yeah, no, it went seven, and
it was
tight.
And I thought that Dallas was going to...
Well, you and I have talked about this. You and I both thought Dallas was probably the cream of the West.
Right.
Toughest road, but...
Totally saw them winning the cup.
Yeah.
Like, that was going to be your cup-winning team. Yep. And I would have said that 2 games ago.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you on that.
And it just feels like... And I don't know if we've spent large periods of time in the past month shitting on either Darnell Nurse, Cody Ceci... Right, like just, but DeHarnay.
And
like,
so let's do it again.
Like, but back in, like, yeah. Honestly, like, who are we crapping on tonight?
Yeah.
And not just us.
No.
But media in general, like, everybody's got a
point. When they bring in Boqvist and he ends up being pretty good in place of DeHarnay, right?
Broberg. Yeah, it's Broberg.
Broberg, you're right. Boqvist is in Columbus.
Yeah, and so.
With Don Waddell.
Yeah.
It's going to go great.
We all long to be.
He looks a little like Walter Matthau. We were talking about in the dream.
Well, and we
or just, he will soon enough.
And we just laughed about Carolina and, you know, the ownership there, Dundon, and bringing on Waddell, who just shit the bed in Atlanta and did such a, like, made a total hash of all that was happening there. And then
I maintain that was not Waddell.
I understand that.
I'm an Eric Tulsky guy.
There is a huge, underswell of the Tulsky community. And so we'll see what happens because...
Columbus should have hired him for me.
For like, sure.
You may find out
you've
that Don Waddell...
You've given the keys to
Atlanta Thrashers, Don Waddell.
Yes. Yes.
Without Tulsky. Now, maybe I'll be proven wrong on that.
Where's Rick Dudley at? Did Rick Dudley come with him? And that great weave or whatever.
Bring back Bob Hartley, used to coach in Atlanta. Reunite the band, man.
But man, Rick Dudley and Don Waddell.
Yeah.
And you're like, mwah, primo stuff. Yeah. So you're right. They're like, hey, John Davidson, get upstairs. I got this. And you're like, all right.
Sweet.
Yes. What are we doing here?
Nothing but success from here for the jacket.
It's rolling, baby. So I don't know how we
you
got
know what
there.
Time it
was, it was Boakvist.
Boakvist versus
Broberg.
Yes.
But you look at that defense, and I'm like, I'm not sure. Short of, and it's not like they've been owning the puck. It's not like the puck possession numbers have been off the chart good.
No.
They just seem to keep Dallas from that slot area, right? There just seems to be...
Well, and even without that possession dominance, their game breakers are breaking the game, which is always the thing us Leaf fans were waiting. Like, build it this way, and your guys will eventually punch through. And here's a team that's doing it, right? Like, now, their depth that they've added to over the, you know, getting Henrique back in there, I think you and I both liked that pickup for them.
Perry.
Nugent Hopkins has, I know he's not recently added, but like, he gets the winner there last game, two games ago, whatever it was.
Friday night.
There's just some pieces there that you really like. And when it comes time to get something going on the rush, they do. Like, they don't miss their chances in these last few games, whereas Dallas is having a hard time. And yeah.
Well, they're much decreased in the opportunities. And so when the opportunities do arrive, the solid chances are much fewer, and they become much more golden. And when you look at, we just talked about it, Kreider, Zibanejad, Panarin, not great in round three.
No.
And subsequently, you're out. You don't win, right? You don't win when you don't have...
Well, I'd be curious to get your take on the point that I think you're making right now with McDavid. I probably would have known sure what your point was if I'd have let you finish it before interrupting
you. That's all right. I'm not sure I knew what it was.
But Lever and I talked 2 weeks ago on here that after the kind of quiet series that McDavid had against Vancouver, he was probably due to go supernova against Dallas, and he really hasn't. He hasn't been bad by any means, but it still doesn't feel like McDavid is dominating this series in the way that he is capable of doing. And that's the one thing. And again, he's been good, but like, he's been McDavid
light
or not even light. I was going to say McDavid neutral, like McDavid fine, but not yet McDavid at his top. And that's the part that would scare me if I'm trying to predict that Dallas is going to come back and win two in a row. At some point, McDavid is going to do that thing where he puts up 5 points in a game and you're done.
I'm going to give you the Pastrnak.
Right. Show up in overtime at that one moment.
In game seven, you're like, that's the time. Or six, whatever it was. You're like, bam.
Yeah, it was seven. It's always seven.
So we're doing it, right? And you're like,
whereas
when you allow quality to sort of go.
But like what I'm sort of saying, like your point is well made. The Pastrnak did the thing in the moment they need. McDavid might do that thing for a whole game. Like that's in him.
Okay, but you look at that game we were talking about where Edmonton came out and they outshot Dallas 15-3 in the first period. It was 2-0.
Yep.
McDavid had primary assists.
Off they go. They're on the...
Or a goal, primary assist and a goal, whatever it was. You're like, this is... They are totally in control.
Yeah.
That was McDavid looking like McDavid was doing whatever he wanted to do. And then I was downstairs listening on the radio as I was doing a bunch of other things. And then Dallas scored to make it 2-1. I went upstairs and it was the TV was on in the bedroom. And Dallas scored to make it 2-1. I came back downstairs, and as soon as I walked, it felt like as soon as I got back upstairs again to grab the other half, it was 3-2. And I'm like, it was just 2-1.
Yeah.
And so it is, I have no feel.
No.
No feel for what's going to happen. I felt like every game up until that point, and including that game, that Dallas was the better second and third period team. That they were just eventually, like Florida did to the Rangers, Dallas was wearing down in game Edmonton, whatever Edmonton had to do. But man, I look at that very pivotal game five and how Edmonton just didn't allow Dallas to do what Dallas wanted to do. And we weren't sure if Tanev was going to be in.
Right.
And Tanev has been...
Well, through the first two rounds, his numbers playing with Esa Lindell, like the numbers that he kept McKinnon to in terms of possession, in terms of shot attempts, they were blanketing what anything that Vegas had. Like, took care of Eichel, had him in like a 15% scoring chance.
Yeah.
Only had McKinnon at like low 20s for his scoring. Like, they were dominating the top line of both of those teams. And they have not, even before Tanev got hurt, they have not been able to do that to Edmonton. For whatever reason, Edmonton has blown through that pairing.
But you are talking, to me, it's more than McDavid. It's Bouchard.
Yeah.
Bouchard
100%.
Bouchard has been the guy, when you're able to do it from the back end, it's a totally different look, right? That allows you to open up the forwards.
Yeah.
To me, when you have, when the impact player, the dominant controlling player is the defenseman,
mm-hmm.
it certainly opens up the opportunities down the road for a Draisaitl, for McDavid, right? For that to happen it'll be interesting. I'm fascinated by what's going to happen on Sunday night.
So Florida versus Dallas, Edmonton. It's not even a question for me. I will be rooting for whoever comes out of the West. I dislike Florida. They're douchebags. There is some bias there in terms of what they did.
I like Florida.
And there you go. This is where we part ways after what they did to Toronto last year and why that may have warmed your heart to them a little bit.
No, not at all, actually. Okay. All right. Yeah. To me, as somebody who's watched from the front row, my face pressed against the glass of the Ottawa, Florida over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Where Matthews Panthers have come in and rode roughshod
over Brady's
Senators.
And created some wild debates in the sports media in this city.
Well, and those debates, whether Matthew gets to do his own thing.
If Brady doesn't want to get involved. Yeah. You know,
where if it was anybody else other than his brother, he's over there doing whatever he needs to do.
Yeah.
Which I got time for that debate.
Sure.
But it really comes down to, it's also led to some crazy spirited 150 penalty minute games, right? But with Florida winning those games decisively.
Yeah.
So I have lots of reason to dislike the Panthers.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of me that has a soft spot for the way they play. I'll be interested. If Edmonton wins on Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
and it's in Edmonton, Florida,
or Tuesday.
Yeah, whichever it is, I think I'll be very interested to see how either one of those teams face up against the bit of the buzzsaw that is Florida.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they present such a...
Are they the favorite to you? Against, out of the three teams left? Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure at this moment. I think if it was in Edmonton, Florida, I would certainly... I think I want Edmonton to win.
I don't mean... okay.
No, I know what you're asking.
Yeah.
You're asking me for who is the
best
betting,
team.
The betting, the Vegas line.
As opposed
the Vegas
to your
line.
Cheering,
I don't think so. I don't think so. You and I talked about it last Sunday. We talked about Dallas or Edmonton beating Florida. I'm not sure we thought that was like a consensus hands down thing.
I sort of feel to me, man, like whoever wins this West Series does change the dynamic a little bit, because I think Edmonton has shown me something here against Dallas I didn't think they had. And in terms of puncturing through a team that clearly has better depth but doesn't have the star power that you have. I think if Edmonton gets to Florida, you're going to see a little bit of the same. I think Edmonton, you'll be hoping that your stars can go supernova on the Panthers. And I think I would pick Edmonton. But if it's Dallas, Florida, I sort of feel like you're getting a little bit of the same kind of depth on depth. Two pretty good goaltenders. And I think Florida's a little more, for lack of a better term, playoffy, right? Like, we've come this far. We learned some things last year. I think Florida would take down Dallas, and I'm not sure they would against Edmonton. And even as you've suggested, even a couple of days ago, a week ago, I'm not sure I see it that way. It's something I've watched in that Western final that has sort of changed my opinion on both teams. Dallas looks vulnerable in a way I didn't expect them to, and Edmonton has punched through. Obviously, these things are related in a way that I'm not sure I expected they would be able to against Dallas.
And it's interesting because I look at, and the and the very immediate and upfront is Edmonton with its traditional, its history of scoring, uber talented, maybe not defensive, and the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, in terms of
I made that point a few minutes ago.
The people who
your stars, one set of stars has done it, the other hasn't.
Well, and it's not just that; it's the group who you associate with being offensively talented, and that sort of really top end offensive talent that maybe doesn't have that sort of playoff stick with itness that, man, Edmonton has really, whether they've acquired.
Don't you feel like that's new? Yeah, like
100%.
Yeah.
That is the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you are looking at whatever they're doing and whatever Knobloch, like, and to listen to him in a post-game presser is like warm milk and I don't know. Or either that, or it's like blazing a huge blunt.
And either way,
yeah, I think he's blazed.
Whatever the blunt gets you to sleep.
And he has just sort of he's sleepy. Yeah. He's sleepy. He's the anti-Paul Maurice, really. To be honest with you, he's. Yeah. But whatever he has instilled there, and whatever system they are doing, seems to be really effective. And can you point a finger to exactly what it is that Edmonton's doing?
Nope. And in fact, their power play has been disappointing in this series.
But their penalty kill has been outstanding.
Well, that's why the lack of power play production isn't killing them, right? Like, the PK isn't giving it up, so you're
2011 Boston Bruins.
Right. So you hold firm on that, and you win it at 5-on-5. But in terms of pointing at what's changed since it was a pretty mediocre start. That had
mediocre.
At least one of us saying season might be lost.
The question was, who's in worse in Alberta, Calgary or Edmonton?
Right. And since then, they've been the best team in the league, record-wise.
Since January 1st, they are hands down the best record in the NHL.
Yeah.
But to me, you can score regular season goals and you can do all that you need to do, and that's fine.
This I'm familiar with.
Roll off 16 straight
love some
wins.
Big regular season goals.
Yeah,
69 of them. Yeah, it's nice.
So, yeah. Doesn't feel so good in April?
No. No.
But no, if you could kill penalties like nobody's business, and that's the thing, you are still looking at that same group of meh or mid, as the kids say.
Yes, pretty mid.
It is. The defensive core, if you run it out and you go, I don't know, man. But there it is. There it is. And at this point, they've done it now in back-to-back series. And again, I have no idea. Maybe Dallas wins a series.
Yeah, though. Yeah. Well, this is the danger of going as deep as we have on this.
But we can only deal with what we have. And the good listener understands that this is a Sunday afternoon pod.
Yeah.
But with Robertson and with Stankoven and with Wyatt Johnson, coupled with the nice
return of Roope Hintz.
And what he's done for Robertson.
Yeah.
If only the Leafs could find Roope Hintz to accentuate.
Yeah. We got Pontus Holmberg. Might be okay.
Yeah, check the worlds,
went,
man.
Went
check
and
the
dominated
worlds.
The world championship.
Come on, you sign that guy.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lighten up Prague on a Sunday afternoon. Who hasn't wanted to do that? Honestly,
it doesn't sound so bad.
It sounds actually quite awesome. Sorry, Pontus. But this is going to be interesting. And at this point, I would have thought this series would have went 6 tops for Dallas.
Yep. Yeah, same.
At this point, if it went 6 or 7 to Edmonton, I would not be surprised. At this point, I would be surprised if Dallas won this series.
Yeah.
Having to win two out of.
Yep.
Yeah, well, bang. Having to win two.
Having to win two out of the
in a row.
Remaining two.
Yeah. So it is very much. And I am interested.
Mm-hmm.
They have, to me, the hockey has been very good.
Yep.
Right through to this, I've been, the two conference finals have been very good.
Yeah, now, I got over my usual sulking a little quicker than
I
sometimes
year,
do.
Last year, you shut it down and you never came back.
Not really, no. No. This year, the hockey's been better. The series have been more interesting. And the conference finals, as you say.
Does that have anything to do, though, with what is probably legitimately the 4 best teams in each division? Do you think that has, because we talked about it before, where
had Vancouver won for the first time in ever, you would have had the four division winners.
Right.
This is the conference finals.
Now, right. But Edmonton, to me, was clearly
the better team
at the end of the season.
Yep.
The best team in that Pacific division.
Right. So we're, it's semantics a little bit, right?
Yeah, for like, sure it is. Yeah, yeah. One seeds versus best team.
Yep. But in terms of actually having the four division winners, yep, that's never happened. So, yeah, no, I do think that. I think when you get to look at a playoff run that actually features the team, and look, we all like upsets. It's all kind of crazy when somebody knocks out. Like
we like upsets when they happen.
They don't. You don't like it when they happen to you.
Or we don't always like it when Cinderella shows up in the next round.
Right.
And then goes, oh yeah, my foot is too fat to fit in the glass slipper.
Exactly. So
you're out.
Like last year, for a lot of people, the Florida Panthers were the look, what the fuck? They just beat the record-setting Boston Bruins and knocked off the Leafs, who everybody hates. Easy team to... And they ended up being legit. Like, they didn't keep going and stink up the party. Whereas,
although
like,
they did lose 9-3 in the decisive cup-winning game.
But when you go to, like, the 0-3 Ducks, that was boring team. It was a great goalie.
96 Florida Panthers.
Right. Just a team that's hanging on for dear life with a great goaltending performance. And you're like, this stinks to what? The conference final in 0-3 in the West was the Minnesota Wild under Jacques Lemaire.
And Anaheim?
And that Anaheim team.
Jaguar?
Awful. Awful hockey. And yes, it's so when you look now and you go, these are four teams who deserve to be here.
Yeah.
It's a lot more fun to watch, man.
You've had quality on quality.
Yeah.
And it showed in the games.
Right. We didn't see the Islanders or the Capitals or the Predators or whatever get hot for a week and eliminate somebody. No, the best teams kept moving on.
Or that 93 Cup final, which, or the final four, right, which was Islander. Leafs were in the Western Conference.
Yeah. In 94?
Yeah. No, 93.
93
Leafs,
was
Leafs, Kings.
Islanders, Penguins.
Yeah,
that was David Bullock.
Yeah.
And,
no, sorry. I'm thinking of the 93, which was Toronto and...
93 was Toronto, LA, Montreal.
Toronto, LA, the Gretzky thing. Yes, sorry. Yes. I was drawing a huge blank, and it was Montreal and the Islanders. All three teams were third seeds in their division. And it kind of made lots of upsets.
Yeah.
But it just made for kind of shitty
Feels hockey. Like a bit of a sham.
Shitty hockey at the end, right?
Yeah.
But now, best of sevens are best of sevens. And guess what happens, right? Yep.
If you win, you're full. And this is this thing that keeps occurring to me more and more and more. And it normally dawns on me with baseball, 162 game season. We pay too much attention to the playoffs and not enough to the regulars. If you're the best team over 162 games, which the Jays are in no danger of being this year, you're the best team in baseball this year. And then we're going to have this little fun tournament, and that's going to be cool too. But like the Europeans have this right with their soccer and stuff, where they put more value on the season and then have this other thing, this tournament for a championship. Both can be valuable. The fact that we hold the President's Trophy in such disdain is weird.
Well, and that's why when you go back, like right in my wheelhouse, to those Jays World Series wins, and you go, yeah, guess what? You had an American League West. You had an American League East champion. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Yep.
You played in a division with eight teams.
Right.
Or seven or eight teams in the East, seven in the West.
Yep.
And that was it. You won. You won your division.
Or you went home.
Or you went home. And so there was four teams made the playoffs. And I understand with revenues.
Two out of threes and multiple wild cards.
And I understand and the playing games, yep, and all this shit,
yep,
that you're doing this for fan interest, TV money.
And to be fair, both of those things have panned out. They have kept people interested longer.
100%.
And they have made money. So it's... But I'm with you that if you want to see the best teams, you take your four division winners and go. That's it.
And those were the days when, yeah, you were rewarded for a great regular season,
mm-hmm,
right? And so at that point, yeah, you had four. You only had division winners. So, yeah, I get all that. But
So, look, I still get wrapped up in the romance of a playoff run, right? That we all, look, they're gutting it out and you're seven games and they shake hands at the end and all that stuff. But there is something to be said for the fact that we should probably care a little more, not necessarily more than you care about the cup, but we should probably care a little more about the best teams in the regular. And we just don't. We're just like, fuck it. Rangers, you suck. You're done in the third round.
That sounds like a Leaf fan.
Well, the Leafs have never won their... like in this stretch.
But they've been very good in the regular season.
Yeah, fair enough.
There must be a home run jacket or something for them that they could...
yeah. Yeah.
that they could have. Give them something.
Speaking of baseball and the Blue Jays, as you and I sit here right now, they're in the eighth inning. Jays are up 5-3, trying to get by the powerhouse Pittsburgh Pirates, who look a lot like the Blue Jays, quite frankly, right now. Two cheeks off the same ass. I don't know if you've seen anything over the last week that's changed your opinion, anything that's been noteworthy to you. You've watched Alek Manoah go down. You sort of said at the beginning of the season.
Not even at the beginning, like a month ago or three weeks ago.
Just that anything you got out of that guy was a bonus, right? And he came up and he at times looked like, whether he was ever going to be a Cy Young contender again, that he could be a useful piece. He was sort of figuring it out. Then he had a rough start or two, and now he's got the elbow thing. He's going on the injured list. Swanson's in the minors. Romano is back on the Romano's on the IL, and we're back basically as far as pitching goes in the same situation you were to start the season.
Yeah, see last week's statement. Like to me, they swept the White Sox.
Yep.
I'm on here week after week, going, you got to sweep series, man. You got to, and Matt is saying, it's hard to sweep a series.
It is.
But other teams seem to be able to do it. And sometimes to us.
Often.
And I'm like, if they can do it, why can't we do it? But we can't. And it took us, you know, again,
14.
Friday night, one run through nine innings. You lose 8-1 on Saturday.
What's up with Kikuchi?
I don't know, man.
Trade him now. He's destroying his trade value.
Yeah. And so it comes down to you can't score. Doesn't matter who you bring out of the bullpen. Doesn't matter what.
Vladdy at third on Sunday, trying to give that a look. Get an extra bat in the lineup. Get Vogelbach back in there. Like they did everything they could.
I'm bringing Vogelbach.
Oh, God.
No, it's not.
No.
No,
nobody is.
But again, it is one of those things where. Yeah, I didn't notice that, actually. I was in and out and around. But, yeah, what
are
you going
to... First time since 2019.
What do you think of the City Connect jerseys? Or the outfits, the uniforms?
The outfit.
That's a great fit. Outfit. Great fit.
Earlier in the week, so those got released on Thursday at an event, and then they played in them for the first time on Friday.
Very slimming for Vladdy, I would say.
Early in the week. There was another one floating around that had been leaked that people were not particularly fond of. This turned out to be much nicer than that.
I didn't hate him.
No,
is what you're saying.
I like the hat a lot.
The T with the maple leaf in the middle of stem of the T.
Yep.
Yeah, not bad. If you could give me that, yeah.
I kind of like the idea. Like one of the problems that happens when these things get leaked early is that you don't get the context. And once someone says, well, what we were sort of looking for here was like the blue of like a reflection off the lake, which is part of the Toronto city identity, right? Here's the skyline in almost like a reflection on the lake. And you kind of go, all right, I see what you're doing there, right? Like if you just take a second and instead you get a shitty picture that someone took at their local Winners where it was accidentally released and it was probably a... what do they call them? Like, yeah, like a consignment thing or whatever. You're just like, ah, it sucks. Well, when you get it actually properly laid out and photographed and seen on a player and explained to you, you go, yeah, okay. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but it's nicer than I thought. And the part that most people seem to be hung up on, and it's fair enough, is that some of the lines on the CN Tower portion look off. And other people identified a tower in Germany that it looks more like. I'm not familiar with all the towers in Germany.
I haven't seen that.
But I don't know. Like, it's something different that you're only going to see five or six times a year. It's fine.
Yeah.
I might get the t-shirt with the skyline thing on it.
See, now, but to me, was it black?
Or it's a very dark blue.
Very dark blue. Yeah. And so to me, I thought it was dark blue, and then somebody's like, no, it's black. And I'm like, are you?
Yeah, I'm not sure the Jays are ready to go back to black. Like, I didn't hate those jerseys either, but a lot of people did. The black ones from the Roy Halladay era.
Yeah. And so to me, you come down, but they had the bad Jays back in those days too, right?
Yeah, it was the whole thing, the logo and the.
And so to me, I would have liked to have seen them gone with the Argonaut double blue.
Huh.
Right? Just in terms of the Toronto, like when I think of Toronto,
the city, yeah.
I think of Toronto, I think of the navy and the powder.
Yep.
That's what I think of. And so the red, I understand you're trying to incorporate a little bit of Canada's team, and
that's the part that's hung up for a lot of people too, is this is City Connect, but the Jays are representing a country, so how hard should you lean into that? It's a reasonable argument. I kind of get the criticism, but I also understand why
with
they
the
felt
royal
it necessary.
Blue too, the stripes. Just I would have went with just make it more monochromatic. Just give me a bit more of the super dark. And if you're gonna go with the red or the,
because it's supposed to be like the nightlife, right? Like that's what they're
oh,
calling it.
Oh, I like the nightlife. I like to boogie, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Rob does love to boogie.
On the disco go round. Oh, yeah.
And so that's the reflection off the lake and the nightlife of the city and stuff like. So that's why it was so dark.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways.
Well, this is their explanation, not mine.
I don't know. Matt's breaking it down here.
But Matt's a fashion guy. Like, Matt knows fashion high stuff. Fashion.
Yeah. It's very true.
But like, there's work. Like, the Red Sox one has yellow on it. What do you?
There's shit out there all over the place.
And the dark pants I've never liked. Like, can we just do it the jersey and the hat? Like, why do we have to?
But watching on Friday night with Barrios, he just looked streamlined, and he looked like he was getting it done, man. He looked like a knife out there.
The fucking green TD on the sleeve.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of, that's also getting a lot of barking.
Yeah.
LSG, that was
no
the,
good.
That's the one thing he was saying. He's like, that's trash. What are we doing with that?
Well,
and I'm like, that's a sponsor
who's
saying, I want it to leap off the page at you.
But it stands out more
than anything else
here. Yeah. On this dark jersey more than it does on the blue even or the.
I agree.
Yeah.
Now, when you buy that and you knock off Chinese secondary market, you're not going to get the TD marker on it. So it doesn't matter.
I already placed my order for the hat. I like it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and again, I like it that I like the monochromatic. I like the one color.
Yep.
I go in for that with just the only different color is actually the tee with the leaf, right?
Yep.
Like that to me is.
Yeah. You and I have talked about that both always hat guys. Like I don't mind when the peak's a different color than the, you don't love that as much.
Everything I wear is going to be a single color.
Yeah.
And now I do have a couple of, fullback mesh that are sort of.
I don't like that. My crazy fro starts to push through the mesh.
Yeah, see, so, I don't have that same problem.
It's pretty curly when it gets too long.
But if it's going to be the only off color is in a fullback mesh on the back. I don't mind that. I had a Jays hat I got from you, actually.
Yeah, because I didn't like it.
Right, but it was nice. I liked it. It was a comfortable hat. I have another one, good Coburg Kodiak's hat. I enjoy that. But everything else I own, I have Guinness hat. I'm rocking my tall can right now. All black. All black with just the tall can logo.
Yep.
That's a good one for me, but.
The TCA hats are rough on me in the summer. It's too hot, the black. Like, I got to switch. Got to go something lighter.
And I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
I was out yesterday, like I said, out at a football tournament, and I was just like, but I was wearing my Guinness hat. It's an all black.
Right.
Even the logo is black on it, so it's a black on black.
It's one of the reasons I love the Broncos hat in the summer. The orange isn't quite as I kind of like that.
Doesn't draw
the sun, right? That's my cottage hat. That's my hanging around on the patio or.
You know what? You'd look great in a visor.
100%, man. I'd look great in just about anything.
No, but let's
no,
just
no.
Let's keep it on an upside down visor, probably looking good.
Yeah.
Matt's wearing a tank top. I'm, oh man.
A halter maybe.
Yeah. No. go back to the singlet. I'm seeing a bottle of beer in one of those foam cups that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow, with the visor on? Yeah. Come on, man.
I'm looking good.
It's true, man. I'm picturing it. But I'm picturing it on the old school Harcourt dock.
Yeah.
That's where I'm picturing it.
That's because you can't.
Picture the new one.
Yeah, you've never been invited to the new one.
That's okay. So. That's all right. It's just that's what I see. I see Matt out enjoying it. The Rays are, it's just sunny. And
got a Packers hat for the same reason, that green and yellow. It's not quite as, doesn't attract the sun in the same way. But I do like the orange best out of the Broncos hat.
And you know what? It's
and I like their logo. I used to like them a lot when they had Peyton.
Yeah.
Now they're not any good, but I like the hat.
But we'll see. And I got a lot of time for... Back in the day, back when I was maybe in grade six, I had the old Adidas bag, which had the handles, and it would always come in two tones.
Yeah.
I had a navy and orange Adidas bag.
Yeah, I like orange a lot.
I like it's navy and orange together to me are very nice, and that is your Broncos color, right?
Yep.
So it's now, I used to try it in the wintertime. I'd use it like curling. I would like... spin it on the ice and whatever else, and then it would always end up in the water, and I'd get to school and all my shit would be wet, and you'd be like,
oh, my homework got ruined.
Look, but here it is.
I swear I did it.
Idiot.
Written right on his paper.
Well, and it's bad when it's in your own
report card.
When it's in your own head and you're like, ah, you fucked up again. You should have known better, Matt.
That's been said.
Yes.
Anything else?
Did you watch any of the Red Blacks?
No.
Man, no touchdowns.
I don't watch preseason football.
No touchdowns again, man. That to me is, you're like, psh. I tuned in, it was 9-3 at halftime, and I'm like.
This looks oddly familiar.
Yeah.
And especially when only the home team has any of their guys.
Yes, and then the Red Blacks won, and that's fine, but you're like, no offensive touchdowns. The one touchdown was an interception
it's
return.
Offensive on its own.
Yes. So I'm just like, I have not been.
Well, because we talked about this a week ago, that you were not jazzed for the start of the season, right? Well, were not sitting here going, can't wait to get back into some Red Blacks football. You needed to be shown.
I tuned in for the last 2 minutes of the first half, and they didn't get it in the end zone. Lewis Ward came out for a 36-yard field goal that hit the upright.
That sucks.
And you're like, 9-3? Click. And never came back, man. There's playoff hockey. There's Memorial Cup.
Well, anything
Blue
preseason.
Jays, just, well, yeah, okay. But you want to see some developments.
Yeah.
Show me something. And so, yeah, I was just like, you know what? Click. Never coming back.
See you in 2 weeks. Never.
No, I'll come back.
If they're good.
I'll come. 100%, Matt. I'll be back if you're good. If you're not, you better be bringing a bunch of those 10th anniversary pints.
I'm sort of sitting here going, I don't know if the Jays keep doing what they're doing and the Red Blacks do what they've done the last few years, my TV might not get turned on from like mid-June till preseason hockey. Maybe occasionally some Netflix or
some
something.
Some Sopranos reruns.
Yeah. Oh, anything reruns. A little Entourage. I like to rewatch The West Wing
little
now
Simpsons.
And then. Oh, always. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%.
I'm staring down the barrel of a pretty uncomfortable sporting summer.
Well, you have through free agency.
Yeah.
We're good, but July and August?
The show may...
Golden Girls?
That's what we'll do. We'll watch episodes of Golden Girls and talk about it.
And we'll talk about it on this show. Yeah, we may have to look at some Sunday afternoon whiplashes. We may have to go back to some...
Old school.
Go old school, make it uncomfortable for everybody, including the listener.
Especially the listener.
Yeah, especially
takes a lot to make anybody in this room uncomfortable.
It's true. They'll say anything, those guys.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up here because I'm out of any things to say.
Any things to say?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got lots of things to say.
Yep.
Just whether anybody else wants to hear them. You know what? Actually, listen to this. And I know you're not a
listen to it.
You're not a hot sauce guy.
Nope.
The brother-in-law was over and he brought some mushroom caps. So you're going to barbecue them and you have a little goat cheese in it or feta. But he brought over a ghost pepper Szechuan hot sauce.
That sounds like I'd be on the toilet within minutes.
Okay, so he says to me, I'm like, yeah, man, give me some of that. Now, I know ghost pepper on the Scoville scale. Are you familiar with the Scoville?
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Like a green pepper is zero on the Scoville. A jalapeno is like 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a ghost pepper comes in around 2 million on the Scoville scale. Just, and that's not, I'm not exaggerating.
It's a stupid scale.
Well, it means it's stupid fucking hot.
I understand,
but... And so I'm like, well, what do you need to put that on with? And he's like, do you have like a chopstick that I can dab?
And
so
a diaper.
You're putting it in. And so he gives me the mushroom cap with the goat cheese and it has two little dots on it from this ghost pepper Szechuan hot sauce. And I could feel the two spots on my tongue where this thing was. It's like, now, because it was only the two dabs, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was hot. But if you were to put any more, and he said to me, he's like, yeah, I had a little bit on my, I sort of shook the bottle and put my tongue on the cap. And he's like, I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. And I get it. That's
how I feel when I have the measly, what was it, 1,500 jalapeno?
Yes, exactly. So I like a little heat, not as much as my older brother,
yeah,
who likes it.
Oh, my dad, same way. Burn the gizzards out of you. Okay, he's
so
good.
So next time he's in town, there's a hot sauce place at Bayshore.
Okay.
Which is where this came from. And so he would like that. Anyways, it was good. It was good, but it was one of those things where, hey now, you're taking it all in your hands here in a second. So I thought that was...
Okay.
I was drinking some fine West Coast IPAs too.
Yeah. That suddenly tasted like nothing, like had no flavor.
Well, okay, exactly.
The taste bud's been burned right out.
You know what else I had? I had a couple of Brown Cow.
Yeah, okay. That's a good beer, man.
Calabogie.
I haven't had it in a while because I already know I like it. We've had that conversation before, right? I'd rather try the new thing than the thing I know I like. And but Brown Cow, it's a good one, man.
It is good. Yeah. It is good indeed. Anyways, that's what I got.
Okay. We'll wrap this one up here. If you missed it last week, Chris Hoffley was on the show on Friday talking about his departure from OSEG. We asked him, who's a dick around OSEG? He was a little hesitant to answer. But
Chris Hoffley? Yeah, really, yeah. Because he's
there's
no
one less
there.
Now.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So check that out. That was episode 1324 dropped on Friday morning. It's at tallcanaudio.com or wherever you're hearing us right now. And as always, we'll keep the good stuff coming for you this week. We'll wind this one down here. For Rob, my name's Matt. Have yourselves a great week, and we'll see you later.
See ya!
I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.